Test. Wow Jam. Hey, that Wow Jam is incredible. Isn't that video phenomenal? Just a reminder of what God did last year and what he's going to do. He's going to do greater things this year. There are greater things yet to come in this city. There's greater things, greater plans that God has. And so don't miss out on being a part of that in just a couple of weeks on May 2nd. Don't miss out on some of the greater stuff. We believe that this year is going to be a greater event. There's going to be more people. There's more need, we know, in this community. And God loves to meet people in their place of need right where they're at. So don't miss out on that. Hey, open up your Bibles, if you would. Grab your Bible. We're going to continue our series. And we are in John chapter 3. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, if I have the ushers come forward. And we've got a Bible for you. If you maybe forgot your Bible today or you don't have a Bible, we've got Bibles for you. And so as they're coming, just raise your hand, and you can use this Bible today. If you don't have one, you're welcome to take this home with you and keep it as our gift to you. If you do have one and you just forgot yours, just leave it in the seat behind you or pass it to one of the ushers on your way out. And turn to John chapter 3, which if you've got one of these Bibles, is on page 737. And we're going to read John chapter 3, and we're going to read the first 21 verses. And this is the story where Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And so starting in verse 1, it says this. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus. This is the original Nick at night. He comes to Jesus by night. And he has a question for Jesus. Now Nicodemus is a man that is a very educated man. He's a very religious man. He's really reached the top in terms of the social hierarchy in Judaism, in the society. He knows all of God's law. He's doing his best to follow God. And yet he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I'm missing something. There, I have noted, Jesus, that you, wherever you go, you do signs and wonders. Wherever you go, there is a sense that you are from God. And I don't have that. And so Nick comes to Jesus and says, listen, I'm missing something in my life. And I think it's interesting that he comes at night, and many things have been said about Nicodemus coming at night. We don't know why he came at night. We don't know if he was ashamed to come to Jesus during the day. We don't know if maybe it was just the only good time he knew he could find Jesus because Jesus traveled so much during the day and moved here and there. But we do know that Nick was driven to find Jesus. He was driven to find the answer because in him, in his life, in his religion, in the things that he was doing, he was missing the power that Jesus was displaying. And so he comes to Jesus at night driven by a need to find Christ, driven by a need to find the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, I've got the answer for you, but you don't totally understand it. I've got the answer for you, and it is the Spirit of God. And the question I have for you this morning, just as we begin, is you and I think, are like Nick. And what drives you? There have been many times in my life when I have realized that I needed more than what I had, that I was missing something in my life. And there are times when I have been driven. Now, sometimes I've been driven by wonderful things. I've been driven by the Spirit of God, but there's many times when I have been driven by my flesh, or driven by a need for something that I felt inside of me that I was unsettled. And how many this morning are driven? You may be here today and you recognize that in the night hour sometimes you're driven by temptation. You're driven by a need to search out that which you can't find. You're driven by, sometimes we're driven by fear, we're driven by worry, and we stay up late at night. You know, there's a whole world at night that is around. And I'm always surprised when I'm out late at night in the community that there are always more people out and more activity going on than I think there's going to be. And there's a whole world of people in the nighttime that are seeking. Now many great things happen at night. Night is a quiet time of peace, but for many people, the night is a time where we experience unsettledness. Have you ever had a problem sleeping at night? And you find yourself unsettled in your body. Maybe it's because of pain in your body. Maybe it's because there's just something that's gnawing at you inside. And you're driven, because you can't find peace. You can't get your body to calm down. You can't find that place of rest. And the answer, as Nick found, was to come to Jesus. And this morning, if you're here today seeking Jesus, you're in the right place. Because I think Jesus has the answer for us. I love what Tom said this morning, that all we have to do is lift up the Son. Lift up the Son, he's going to draw us to him. Lift up Jesus, and he's going to draw us to him. And if you're driven this morning by a need to find something other than what you know, then you're in the right place. You're in the place that Nicodemus was in. And Jesus says, listen, I've got the answer for you, Nick. I've got the answer. I've got peace beyond comprehension. I've got a life that you don't understand. I've got a spirit that will fill you and overflow you. But you've got to begin to walk in the Spirit. So this morning, what I want to just talk to you about for a few minutes is what Jesus tells Nick. Jesus tells Nick, basically, this is how you can live a Spirit-filled life. This is the essential building blocks of living a life of power and of signs and wonders. Nick comes because Jesus has signs and wonders. And you and I need signs and wonders in our life. This church, Koinonia, if we do not have signs and wonders that characterize who we are, then we are lacking the life of the Spirit. Now, what are signs and wonders? Signs and wonders are anything from miraculous events happening, people getting healed, to marriages being restored. If you were here last week and you saw people hold up their cardboard testimonies of transformation that has happened in their life. Signs and wonders are being able to live a life of peace in the midst of anxiety and distress in a culture and a world that's full of fear and anxiety. I was talking with someone this last week. He came up and he said, you know, he said, I've been coming here and I follow Christ and I've been experiencing a peace in my life even though things were going on around me that were bad. It was bad stuff. And I didn't understand why I was able just to I had a peace. And he said, even my friends would say, you know, what's going on? Why aren't you more aggravated? Why aren't you more uptight? And he said, I don't totally understand it. And we write articles for the Sentinel. If you get the Sentinel, you know that Pastor Tim and I will often write for the Sentinel. And I wrote one about the peace of God. And he said, when I read your article, I understood I had the peace of God. I had a peace that surpassed my understanding. It was a peace that came from the throne. Now, that's a sign and a wonder. right? To experience peace in the midst of distress. To experience a life of joy even though everything around you is not going the way that it should go. And our lives can be characterized and should be characterized by signs and wonders. But how do we do that? Well, we can't get it by the way Nick was searching out. Through religion, through doing always the right stuff, through social status, through the hierarchy, through intellect. We can't do it that way. We've got to do it by pursuing the life of the Spirit. So in your outline, there's not an outline that's printed. It's just a blank note. But in your bulletin, you've got just a blank sheet of paper. And so if you want to take notes this morning, pull that out. And I have just a simple outline for you about the essential building blocks of a spiritual life that we see here in John chapter 3. And the first one is simply this, that you and I need new birth. I need new birth. I need new birth. John 3, in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Nicodemus answers, "How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." New birth is the answer for you. And Nick says, "Man, I this does not compute for me." And Nick is a smart guy. It's not as if the whole concept of being reborn is completely foreign. I mean, he can sort of figure out, we can sort of figure out what it means to be born again. But it just, there's a disconnect when Jesus tells him you need to be born again. And Nick thinks, "Man, this doesn't work for me. I don't understand how this could be." Have you ever talked with someone and you were telling them the answer and they just can't see it? It's like they have glasses on that are colored in a way that it's like they cannot see what you're telling them. The truth that you're giving them, they just do not perceive it. And it's like it's right in front of their face and it doesn't matter which way you tell it to them, they're just not going to listen. It's kind of like teenagers, right? Right? You know what I'm talking about? There's a disconnect in the brain, right? And Nick's got a disconnect. He doesn't understand what new birth means. He doesn't understand that what he is lacking is something spiritual. See, what he's got is the Word of God, but he doesn't have the life of the Spirit. He's got religion, but he doesn't have life. He's got tradition, but he doesn't have the daily leading of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, what you need is to be born again. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Here's the right Bible here. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 5. And this is on page 785, if you've got one of these blue Bibles. This is why Nick has a disconnect. Starting in verse 5 of chapter 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And skip down to verse 14. It says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Here's the problem with Nick. He has got a disconnect because he is still in the flesh. He hasn't received the new birth. His flesh has not been regenerated and have received the Spirit of God inside him, making him into a new creature. And so when he thinks about things, he's thinking about things with his earthly natural mind. And the earthly natural mind, according to Romans 8, cannot get to where the Spirit wants to go. See, because the spiritual things come after the Spirit, but the fleshly things come after the Spirit. And he is still dead in his flesh. His thought processes are still according to the world's thought processes. And Jesus is sitting there and he says, listen, you don't understand because you haven't been born again. And many times we are dead in our lives. We have not received the full regeneration of Christ. Now we can be born again. There's a time when we're born again, we receive Christ. We say, Lord, come into my heart, make me a new creature. And he comes and he regenerates us and he gives us his Spirit. And then his Spirit comes and he sets up shop inside of us and he begins to lead us and guide us. And to the degree that we follow his Spirit, the degree that we listen to what he is saying, then we are led by his Spirit. But how many of you know that there are areas of our life that just we're dead? I mean, maybe our spirit has been revived, but we haven't, we're not following the way we should. And so we've got these dead areas in our hearts. Sometimes we're dead because we've been hurt in areas, and we have closed and shut off those areas anymore to people being able to speak in, or to God himself being able to speak in. And we've been wounded, and so we begin to build walls and close off areas of our hearts. And we're dead in the natural anymore. And the Spirit of God is not allowed to live inside of us. And what God wants to do, what Jesus says is, hey, you need to experience life. You need to be born again. You need to no longer be walking around, dead man walking, but be walking in the Spirit of Christ. Allow him to regenerate you. So if you're missing those signs and wonders, if you're missing God's life, his peace, his assurance, if you're missing the signs of the Spirit, then maybe you need to be born again. Or maybe you need to revisit and allow Jesus to birth again within you that which is lacking. So you need to be born again, number one. Number two is you and I need living water. I need living water. John chapter 3, verse 5. And you just keep your finger there in John chapter 3, because we'll keep going back to it. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Now, throughout the scripture, we see that God continually talks to his people about water. And repeatedly we see descriptions even of Jesus talking about water and how he's the living water. And if you follow Jesus, he's going to make streams of living water come out of you. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah, God actually says, hey, my people have forsaken me, the spring of living water. Water is so descriptive of what the Spirit is. Water is so descriptive of what we need in our lives as Spirit-filled believers. In Revelation chapter 22, we see the picture of the water of life coming from the throne of God. And it says it's crystal clear and it brings healing to the nations. And there's a water of the Spirit that we need to be washed in. We need to be regenerated in. There's a water of baptism that we need to be washed in. But there's a water also of cleansing that's a continual washing of the water with the Word. In Ephesians, it talks about the washing of the water of the Word, that Jesus is going to wash us in the Word. And if we continue to open up his Word and study it and get ourselves into it, meditate on it, then it's going to begin to wash us. Turn to Ezekiel. One of the things that many scholars think that Jesus was talking about when he says this about water is Ezekiel chapter 36. And Ezekiel's in the Old Testament. It's a couple of books after Psalms. Ezekiel chapter 36, page 604. Verses 25 through 27. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now that's the water that we need as believers. That's the water that we need, walking in our life and having God give us a new heart. How many of us need a new heart this morning? How many of us have discovered that sometimes our heart gets dirty? It gets polluted. We think about things. We go places. We do things that just begins to cloud our heart. And as we were worshiping this morning, I just sensed that today is that as we were worshiping, that God was coming and he was almost like stripping off the scales around our heart. That there are places where our heart has been hardened and we're no longer open to hear him. We it's almost as if our ears have been stopped up because there's scales over our ears because we've walked in the flesh so much that no longer is he able to get through to us. And as we were worshiping today, I thought, man, I saw God coming and removing scales from ears and breaking us, the hard parts of hearts. And it was because we were worshiping, as Tom said this morning, as we were worshiping, there's a sense of God coming and doing a work inside of us. And there's a water that you and I need every day. Have you noticed it's a living water? Now, water is wonderful as long as it's alive, right? We know that that dead water is no good. That there's a difference between a water that flows and is rich and pure and is clean, but there's also stagnant cesspools of water. That's the kind of water you don't want to have anything to do with, right? Now, that's the water you don't want to drink, you don't want to be around, you don't want to bathe in. You want the clear, clean water. And see, God says, I'm going to give you my living water. He says, I will make streams of living water flow out of you. Now, I think sometimes what happens is that we don't keep the water flowing. That we receive his water, and his life comes inside of us. He says, I'll give you a new heart, I'll speak to you, I'll fill you up. But then we begin to just sort of enjoy what he's doing, and we stop allowing it to flow out of us. And so instead of being a stream of living water, we become, instead of being a tributary, we become a pond. We become a cesspool. We become a place where the water stops. And when the water stops and it begins to build up, it gets rotten. And that's where the mosquitoes begin to happen. And that's where that just gets nasty. And what we need is living water. And how do you get living water? Well, you've got to be a tributary. You have to have an inflow and an outflow. And so you have to receive and you have to give. And you say, now, Lord, I'm available to you and I'm open to you and I want you to wash me and I want you to cleanse me, but I'm also going to speak it out. I'm going to give to others and I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And so sometimes we have allowed ourselves to stop up the water, and instead of allowing it to be living, we have killed the very thing that God wants us to do. The water, I believe God would say this to us this morning, the water that he wants to wash you in, the living water, the stream that will flow out of you and I as a church, it's not just for you and I. It is for the community. It is for your family. It's for your kids and for your kids' kids, right? And the only way that you will experience God's spirit, his spirit in an ever-increasing way, the only way that you're going to have a river rushing out of you. See, some of us has got a trickle, right? We just got to, I mean, do you have a squirt gun or do you have a water bazooka this morning, right? It's really up to you about how much water you're going to allow to flow through you. And so many times we say, oh, I'm content with the water pistol. And you know, because I've got a little bit of it, I've got a little bit of the spirit, I got a little bit of the feel-good stuff. Right? I enjoy a little bit. I come to service and I get filled up a little bit, and it's enough to keep my water pistol squirting. But if we really say, you know what, God, I'm gonna decide to be a tributary. I'm gonna give me a bazooka. Then he's gonna fill us, and he's gonna flow through us, and he's gonna do wonders that we've never seen. But it's up to us. See, he says, I'm gonna make streams of living water. I'm going to make a river flow out of you. And it's up to us whether or not we're going to allow the river to flow or we just break it down into something small and insignificant. All right, so we need living water. The third point here is that I need fresh revelation. I need fresh revelation. Verse 10 there in John chapter 3. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you're Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things. Nicodemus didn't understand because he didn't have the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have his eyes yet awakened to the reality of the kingdom of God. See, when Jesus says, listen, this is how you get to the kingdom of God, he's not talking about heaven. And many times we make that mistake. The kingdom of God is I mean, that's a part of it. Heaven is a part of it, but it's not just the, you know, that pie in the sky and the far away by and by that we're looking for at the end of days. What the kingdom of God is here and now, alive and active wherever God's rule and reign is happening on the earth today. And so if we want the kingdom of God, Jesus says, we've got to have a revelation of what it is. A revelation of his hand at work, a revelation of his spirit. Now, people want revelation. I mean, you and I are walking around, and we know that people want to experience God's truth. They want the answers. They just don't know how to get them, right? And Nick is coming to Jesus and he says, man, I want it. I just don't know how to get there. And we have got a key in Jesus, the revelation. Now, what is revelation? Revelation is a deep knowing that you have inside of you that kind of springs up from the Spirit of God that is always in agreement with God's word, but that is for the moment and giving you an insight into what's going on. And it's like it's knowledge. Revelation is knowledge kicked up to a higher level. It's because it's more than knowledge. Revelation is when you read the scripture and it becomes alive to you, right? Revelation is when you're talking to your kids and all of a sudden you realize, oh, this is not just me talking to my kids. This is God talking through me to my kids, right? These words, man, they're better than what I've got. And all of a sudden you realize your kids are actually listening to you. I mean, I've talked a lot to my kids, and I notice they don't listen to me. The more I talk, the more they just kind of tune me out. The higher I raise my voice, the more it just seems like their eyes roll back in their head. But then there's been moments when it's almost like God begins to breathe on what I'm saying to them, and there are words that are spoken that go right into their heart, and I can tell there's something deeper. And when that happens, if I'm smart and I just kind of say it, and I shut up. No, I'm usually not smart. I say it and then I keep talking and then their eyes roll back again. But, you know, revelation is what we need in our day-to-day life. It's one of those things that will set us apart because it will give us direction. Paul talks about revelation in 1 Corinthians and he says, man, the Spirit of God is inside of you and he will give you words of knowledge. He will give you an understanding. He will give you that ability to speak into situations that you don't have knowledge about in the natural. Revelation, it gives purpose to your life. When you are a person that's full of God's Spirit and have his revelation, you will discover that you have direction and purpose. Many of you know W.C. Ray is on our staff. He's our pastor of care, and he's in his 80s. And W.C., we call him Uncle W.C., he is always on the go. And he'll come into my office nearly every day to kind of report on what's going on. And he's always got a story about someone that he's brought to Christ, someone that he met somewhere, and he was able to lead them to know personally who Jesus Christ is. Or some revelation as he's been studying the Word that morning, because he gets up early in the morning and he reads the Word and he gets new stuff. I mean, here's a man that's been studying the Bible for decades, for 50-plus years, 60-plus years, and every morning he gets up and he still finds new stuff. Now, that's revelation. That's revelation. And because of it, he has purpose in his life, and he gets up with a spring in his step, and he walks, and where many other people at that age of their life are kind of winding down, and they're saying, yeah, you know, maybe I can make it on the golf course today and just, you know, hopefully have a good time. He's saying, you know, no, there's a purpose for my life. I'm here. There's people that still need to be touched. There's something that God has spoken into me that I can bring to them. And it's because he lives with the purpose of revelation. Let me read to you a story that I picked out of a magazine I read this week. I thought it was just such a great example of someone that understood what revelation was. They had revelation in their life. And it's just a wonderful story. It says, a firefighter Russell Jackson was mowing the firehouse lawn in Hoover, Alabama one Saturday morning when a call came in to Engine Company 3. A 2-year-old boy had tried to squeeze through the half-open window of his family's car to fetch a toy. He had placed a box on his red wagon and climbed up. Then the wagon rolled out from under him. His father found him hanging from the window by his neck. When we arrived on the scene, the dad was in the front yard in his PJs and literally pulled me off the engine, Jackson recalls. The mother was giving the boy CPR while another son was crying, "My brother's dead. My brother's dead." As Jackson and others worked on the 2-year-old, the mother kept screaming, "For God's sake, do something." While the father stood nearby, repeatedly begging God to take his life instead. But even a doctor flown in by helicopter was unable to save the boy. "I was toast for 2 weeks," says Jackson, a committed Christian who was 22 at the time. A fire department counselor suggested he help others as a means of getting past his spiritual confusion. It was good advice. Not only was Jackson able to come to peace about the child's death, he felt God calling him to a new sense of purpose. He began doing volunteer work in rural areas. That led him to an impoverished community in Sayre, 30 minutes north of Birmingham. There he discovered families living in an abandoned mining camp in conditions that appalled him. Houses without roofs, children sleeping in beds covered with mold. Over the next few years, he recruited fellow firefighters, members of the Hunter Street Baptist Church in Hoover, Chamber of Commerce volunteers, and his own father to rebuild houses, start a clothing bank, and hold benefits. One day, Jackson met a 5-year-old boy who had never spoken and had never been seen by a doctor, even when he was born. His parents explained they had no way to drive him to a doctor. So for more than a year, Jackson drove the 5-year-old and increasing numbers of other Sayre children to medical appointments. The results were dramatic. Doctors removed a lesion on the 5-year-old's brain, and with the help of speech therapy, he learned to talk. The transportation problem, Jackson soon learned, extended to thousands of children, even though most were covered by state and federal insurance programs. The problem was getting to the doctor. So in 1997, Jackson left the fire department, sold his house and furniture, moved in with friends, cashed in his retirement fund, and bought a Chevy Blazer. Now that's nuts, right? I mean, he decides to do something that's completely against every common sense principle. You don't cash in your retirement fund because it's gonna cost you a huge penalty, right? You don't sell everything you have. And this is why he does, and this is the revelation. His plan was to launch a nonprofit organization, Kid One Transport, to take needy children and expectant mothers to medical and dental appointments, chemo sessions, dialysis, physical therapy, and preventative care. Everyone thought I was nuts, he remembers, but I felt so led to do this. Definitely God-led. I can't explain it in any other way. This was what God wanted me to do. He drove 30 trips the first month, 60 the next, all while wearing a coat and tie so he could make fundraising speeches to churches, civic groups, and charitable organizations. Today, Kid One Transport is in 3 Alabama cities, has developed ties with dozens of churches, as well as health organizations and civic groups. It now has a staff of 19 and puts 10 vehicles, all donations from Mercedes, on the road daily. Last year, the group provided transportation to 43,000 individuals in 30 of the state's 67 counties. Jackson is still in touch with the family of the boy who died in the car window after all those years. One Sunday, the father invited Jackson to come to their church. The father gave his testimony that day, describing the accident and the family's subsequent anger, grief, and confusion. We wanted to know why. This is the father of the son that died, he told the congregation. And finally, we got an answer. Thousands of children are being helped by Kid One because of our son's death. Now, there's someone that had revelation. Now, it wasn't suddenly God appearing to him and saying, this is what you need to do. It was simply him pursuing God's purpose, being open to what God would say to him, and receiving a guidance little by little. And look what happened as a result of that. That's what revelation will do for you. Revelation is not always God saying, hey, do you hear what I'm saying to you? It's so many times so small, right? It's so many times something that happens to you that you just that's not God. It's that sense that you should call somebody. The other day I called someone. They kept coming back into my mind. I just felt like I needed to call and encourage them. So I called them up on the phone, and their voicemail came on. So I hung up the phone, got the nerve again, redial it, and called them again, left them a message, and just tried to encourage them, and later to discover that they, it was in a moment they really needed encouragement. It's little stuff like that. It's putting a little more money in your wallet because you sense, God just wants me to give today. It's being open to God speaking to you, to your family, in words of kindness. It's those acts of love and care that you know are from God. It's the thoughts that come into your mind that you know are not your thoughts. They're higher than your thoughts. They're better than your thoughts. And you go, oh, okay, maybe God's talking to me. And we miss revelation so often. Why? Because we're not in tune with God's Spirit. I'm so in tune with myself. I'm so in tune with what I need, right? with what I want to get finished that day, where I want to go, the stuff that I want to do. And so often I miss the revelation that God has. Why? Because I have decided to pursue the things that are in the flesh rather than things of the Spirit. And what we have got to do is make that decision to follow the Spirit. Let's do this. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Well, again, I picked up the wrong Bible. Page 821. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me just talk to you about revelation, how you receive revelation. Now, we are made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Our body is our flesh. It's the physical stuff that we live in, the stuff that when we die is what we bury or burn up. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, and it's the seat of our consciousness and where we go. And our spirit is that part of us that is the receptor for God. It's the part of us that is regenerated when Jesus comes into our heart. And what we have got to understand is that we have got to get the order correct, because it's spirit, soul, and body. And so many times we miss God's revelation, we miss the leading of the Holy Spirit, we miss his life, we miss his peace, because we have got the order out of whack. And instead of having spirit, soul, and body, we've got maybe the body first. And we all know what it's like to have the body first. It's when the body tells you what to do and you have to do it. It's when you're addicted to something that your body needs and you don't have any choice, because your body is now the head. And bodies make great slaves, but they make horrible masters. And so you have to say, you know what, that's wrong. My body is at the bottom. My spirit is at the top. We all know what it's like to have our soul be at the top when our emotions rule, or when it's all about me and what I want. And the key is to get the spirit on top. And how do you get the spirit on top? You pursue the things of the Spirit. You say, Lord, when you open up your eyes in the morning, you say, Lord, today I'm going to follow you. I'm going to pursue your purposes. Open my eyes. When you open up God's word, you say, now God, speak to me today. When you're driving in the car, you say, you know, Lord, just, you know, help me to be sensitive to you this morning. Help me to sense as I'm going throughout my day. And it's not something that you have to, you know, it's not something you do once in the morning and it's just done for the rest of the day. It's just a constant returning to the realization that the source of revelation is God's Spirit. And all we have to do is say, you know, Lord, I'm here. I'm listening. Open my eyes. Open my ears. I want to be full of signs and wonders. I want to be a person that is different. I want to be a person that brings life to my community. And as we do that, then his revelation flows into us, and we're able to bring life where there was death before. So God says, man, I've got revelation for you. I've got water to cleanse you. I've got new birth for you. But it's up to you and I whether or not we pursue it. It's up to you and I how full of the Spirit we are. I'm out of time. Aren't I at time? We end at 10:30, don't we? Would you stand? Let me read a verse to you. This is from the Life Journal reading this morning. And if you're following along with Life Journal, today's reading is in the New Testament. It's out of Matthew chapter 6. And it's a verse that we're familiar with because it's a verse that we used just a couple of months ago in a series that we did. Matthew chapter 6 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own." It says, pursue first his kingdom and his righteousness. See, when we know that there's a kingdom of God. We know there's a kingdom of God that's at hand before us, on the earth around us, wherever God rules and reigns, but we have to decide to pursue it. We have to decide to bow our will to the King of Kings. We have to decide to say, you know what, Lord, today it's not my way, it's your way. Today it's not what I want, it's what you want. And today, Lord, I'm going to pursue your kingdom and your purposes. And so we say, okay, Lord, today I'm going to bow my knee to you. And you know what happens when we do that? All the stuff that's inside of us that doesn't like to be in submission starts to stand up. You know, like a little kid that, you know, you tell them to do something and they start to do it, but you know, man, there's nothing inside of them that wants to do it. You know, and they're so stinking cute when they do that, and yet it's so ugly. And you and I have got that same thing inside of us. And we say, you know, God, I'm going to pursue your kingdom. I'm going to bow my knee to you. And when all those parts of us stand up and say, you know what? No, I don't want any part of that. That's where we begin to say, you know what, God, bring your light. Bring your life. Bring your spirit inside of me. To that area that's still standing up, that part of me that's still dead to you, oh, God, wash me today. Give me a new heart. Sprinkle your water on me. Give me your spirit this morning. Oh, if you want that today, just raise your hand. If you say, man, I need more of your spirit today, there's areas in my life that need to be cleansed. There's parts of me that are dead to the King of Kings, and I want him to come alive today. Oh, Lord, for every hand that is raised this morning, we're a people that are in need of your life inside of us. We're a people, God, that want to be different. We want signs and wonders to characterize us. This world, Lord, needs a people, needs a church that is different, that has life, that has a living water to give. And so often, God, we are empty because we have not pursued you. Oh, so often, God, we don't have life because we have not sought after life. We don't have your spirit empowering us because we haven't sought your spirit. So, God, today as we lift our hands, we just say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, God, for not pursuing you. Forgive me, Holy Spirit, for not looking to you first. Forgive me for not putting the kingdom first. Lord, today I bow my knee again to you. Today I again make the decision to put you first. Today, God, I'm asking you to give me new life, to rebirth the parts of me that are dead, to wash the parts, God, that are filthy, to make again afresh and anew that which has been dead to you. Oh, God, and I ask that you would fill us with your revelation. Fill us with your spirit. Fill us, oh God, to the brim, that there might be a flow of living water. Oh, that we would not be a dead, but God, but we'd be alive to you with the river of living water flowing through us. Oh, we pray that you would do that this morning in Jesus' name. If I could have the prayer teams just come forward quickly. If you'd like any prayer this morning, we're here for you. Maybe you just need a special touch. Maybe you just sense that Spirit of God, you want a greater dose of him. Come forward and we'll pray for you. And God bless you guys. Love you.